Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. I'm Helen, and Kate and I together are associate vicars here at St. Mary's and the Heath. And if you're visiting us this morning, just a word of reassurance, we don't have a photo shoot every week, but we just want to send our love to Phil and Sue as they leave. Also, if you're visiting us this morning, you won't know, and if you haven't been for a while, you won't know that we're on a journey through 1 John, John's first letter, right at the back of the Bible in the New Testament. And really what I'm saying this morning follows on very much from the previous weeks. So if you're dipping in, because we've done quite a few things in our service, I'm not going to fill in the whole picture. I can't fill in the whole picture of that. But there's some really great stuff on our website. 2 sermons on each passage, different perspectives on what John's been saying up to this point. And I really commend to you to have a little trip onto the website if you haven't been here for those previous weeks and have a look, because I'm really sort of fitting in with where we've got to in the series. Today we're talking about listening, and this isn't my usual habit. I tend to pray sort of way before, but actually we're just going to start by praying and asking the Holy Spirit to help us listen this morning. Shall we do that? Thank you, Lord, that you're here with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that your whole role is to help us hear from God. And so we ask now for your help. Would you help us listen? Help us hear the word of God, God the creator of the universe, who still loves us and wants to speak to us this morning. Help us to be ready to hear, to listen, and then to go for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll start with a question, I often do. Would you please put your hand up if you've ever been taught anything? Is there anyone without a hand up? That's a bit worrying if there is. If you've ever been taught anything, I've been taught a lot of things. Hands up if you've ever listened to a sermon. I did use the word listen and not hear. Actually, you have to pay attention sometimes if you've ever listened to a sermon. Hands up if you've ever gone on the internet and listened to a talk, like a TED talk or a podcast or something like that from another church or a conference or something like that. If you listened to one of those, that's quite a lot of us. Put your hands down. Hands up if you've ever been taught how to listen. There are a few, but not nearly as many. You see, they pack off folks like me and like Kate and a few other people here to theological colleges or vicar factories, as they call them, and they teach you a load of stuff, and it's great. I loved college. I'm not being disingenuous about it. They teach you all this stuff, you know, how you might want to listen to God in leading a church, how you might want to preach a sermon. We look at particular bits of the Bible in great depth. I loved it. But as I was preparing this morning, it struck me that lots of teaching is done kind of this side of the line on how to do this bit. Some, you might not think enough. Some. But actually, we don't really teach ourselves how to listen, how to hear, and how to perhaps discern. You see, when we come to church, hopefully the person standing here has done a bit of work beforehand and not just always just opened up the Bible and thought, right, what should we say today? But done a bit of work in preparing for what we're going to say. I wonder if we come, and I sit quite often in that bit too, how often do we come having thought, how am I going to listen today? How am I going to hear what's being said? How am I going to discern? How am I going to process what is being taught in church or on the TED Talk or the New Wine podcast or whatever it is? Listening is quite an active activity. It's not a passive activity. And as we go through 1 John today, a very, very little nugget of background. If you haven't heard before, John, this is probably the John who wrote John's Gospel and the letters of John and possibly Revelation as well. By now, he's old, probably about 80, and he, we think, is a church leader in Ephesus, which is in Turkey, the same Ephesus that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Lots of links there. And there's been real problems in these churches, real problems. And they've been perhaps distracted by a different way of thinking and a different way of teaching, and particularly about who Jesus is. And at college, they call that Christology, but we can just talk about who Jesus is. That's fine. And so John is really, really wanting the people that he leads to know that Jesus is fully God, he's fully human, holds both of those together, and we can explore that on Trinity Sunday, and I'll ask someone else to preach as we work out how that works. But John is really careful that that is the truth, because actually there are people saying, no, Jesus isn't fully God. He couldn't possibly be God and human at the same time, and we'll think a bit more about that. And John is kind of wanting to protect his people, their faith, and the way that they follow their faith and the way that they live out life because of it. And so we come to this point where we actually have a little change of direction, because up to now, John has been talking mostly about love, how God loves them, how Jesus loved them so much that he had come in the human body. He had kind of given up loads of the stuff of being divine to be kind of limited by a human body, and how he loved them first. And so what it looks like then to love God back, but also to love each other, especially in a church which is in turmoil and grieving and splitting. And so that's been kind of the first three chapters, but we just take a little change of direction this morning, because John now, I think in quite a parental way, wants to explain to the people he's writing to how to listen, because they are beginning to hear lots of different voices. They're beginning to hear voices that are healthy, but they're beginning to hear voices that are leading them perhaps in a way that John thinks is unhealthy and not true to the Jesus he had met and lived with and ministered with in his earlier life. Listening to different voices is quite difficult, as the kookaburra is about to find out. Have a look at this.
This bird is more than just a snazzy solo. He's a whole glee club. He can imitate more than 20 different bird species in one song. The more complex, the better. Like the kookaburra. It's so convincing.
Is that one someone stealing my car? Oh no, it's a lyrebird. So like the kookaburra who has to discern between the real thing, another kookaburra, and a lyrebird who sounds quite like it, but actually when you come to look at it is something quite different, we have the same job of discernment. And very briefly, I think John gives us in this short passage, these short six verses, three pieces of advice as we discern, as we listen and weigh up and test the spirits, is the phrase that John uses. And so the three tools are, one, ask the Holy Spirit for help, which is why I very carefully prayed before you listened and I spoke, because actually that's a really important thing to do. Now, I do that before, and I think I want to assume that when you come to church, you've done that. You come in with an expectation that you're going to hear from God, and you're going to hear some stuff that is going to help you, but actually so that you can discern and hear what's for you. And if something, actually, you know, Kate and I, sometimes we don't always agree theologically, or Mike, or Danielle, or Andy Peck, or Pete Chesterton, or anyone else who does what we do. Sometimes, because the Bible isn't written as a manual with absolute instructions, we have to interpret. And we might come up, hopefully not vastly different, but sometimes with a different viewpoint. And actually, if you went from St. Mary's to St. Philip's or St. Matthew's up the road in Redhill or Reigate Baptist, we would come slightly to different conclusions about things. That's fine. That is part of the living church. But actually, when you sit there, please don't just take it all as absolute gospel truth. You are in a role of discerning. John talks a lot about spirits, and he talks throughout his letters about this sort of dual dichotomy, if you like, two worlds. There's the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And if we're able to recognize the spirit of God, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for help and notice when he speaks to us. And even if you just notice within yourself a dis-ease when you hear something, a kind of, oh, is that right? It might just be God saying, why don't you have a think about this a bit more? Why don't you go home and have a look at the Bible yourself? Maybe even, you know, pick up a commentary. Find out what other people say about it. That might be the Holy Spirit prompting you to think, oh, there's a bit of discernment needed here. Let's not ignore those promptings. So the first thing John says is, ask the Holy Spirit for help. The second thing John says is this: what does the person talking to you say about Jesus? What do their words say, and what does their life say about Jesus? John gives us this in verse 2. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And that goes back to, as I was saying, this point that John really wanted them to have a clear idea that Jesus had come as a person, and that Jesus was fully man and fully divine, fully God. And that was all coming about because they were facing this idea of, at the time it was called dualism, and it later went on to be called Gnosticism. And part of Gnosticism was this idea that everything kind of your soul and God were lovely and good, and everything made of flesh and matter, things that were material, were bad and evil. So there was no way that Jesus was God and could inhabit a human body which was evil, which was bad. And so that's what they were teaching. And actually John says, well, is that the Jesus that I've taught you? The Jesus I knew, I lived with, I walked with, I worked with for 3 years in the Gospels? And I think he wants them to come to the conclusion that it isn't. I think this is particularly the case also with prophecy. I know that loads of folk here really want to kind of up their game in the terms of spiritual gifts of hearing and being able to give prophecy. I know that there are gifts of prophecy sat right here in this room. And if we're going to do that, we have to do it safely, and we have to do it carefully and with discernment. And one of the things that I think John is saying to his people and that we need to hear is, if we hear or we want to give, we feel led to give a word of prophecy, is it consistent with Jesus? That is the absolute acid test. Can you imagine Jesus saying something like this word of prophecy? Can you imagine him in the marketplace in Jerusalem saying those words? Now, culturally and historically, we've moved on. Things are a bit different. But actually, from the essence of what's being said, is it consistent with what Jesus says? Paul says to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. If we're discerning truth in what people are saying, it will be truth that is consistent with what Jesus would say and who he was. So that's another helpful tool, a second tool, which is, what does the person say about Jesus? And the third thing I think John says is this: who else is listening? Who else is following this person? So in verses 5 and 6, if you've got it open, John writes, they, that means the false teachers of the day, they're from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We're from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about how John uses the word world. There's quite a few different interpretations of that word, different connotations, and I'm not going to cover that all again here. But what I want to say is, I think in this stage, he's using the word world to describe those people in the world who have chosen not to be influenced by Jesus, whose lives have not been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, and indeed, in many cases, those who have rejected him. And so it makes sense that the false teachers of the day who seem to have rejected Jesus are speaking from a viewpoint which is not influenced by him. And those who share their opinions are probably coming from the same viewpoint. So another way we can discern whether to trust someone is whether what someone's saying about God is true, or whether a word of prophecy is genuine, is are the people following this person a good advert for them? Do we kind of agree with the kind of people who are listening to them? So really briefly, I realize we've raced through that a bit. These three tools for discernment, as we come to listen to anything that is likely to tell us something about God or a direct message from him, these three tools that John gives us: ask the Holy Spirit for help, always, in anything, but particularly here. What does the person say about Jesus? Is it consistent with Jesus? And who else is listening? I want to give just a little very brief and final footnote. How do we cultivate a discerning spirit without becoming cynical? If we overcorrect in taking that responsibility to weigh what we hear, which is what I think we should do, but if we overdo it, it can make us unteachable. Soon, we're weighing the words of everyone, and we can become arbiters of our own truth, if you like. There's a bit of danger, isn't there, of becoming a bit arrogant. And I just want to bring us back to why John is writing. His interest is in the gathered church, the gathered community or communities that he's seeking to protect by writing these letters to them. The worldwide Christian church is a custodian of truth. Jesus has placed a high call on his gathered worshippers. I don't mean St. Mary's Reigate is the custodian of truth. I mean anybody who professes an authentic Christian faith anywhere around the world and at any point in history is a custodian of truth. And so our impulse to critique and to analyze and to judge must be worked out in community and, of course, in love. And that calls for humility and courage that's willing to submit to each other. We're told to do that in the Bible, to respect each other, to work things out together when we disagree. And that actually can be a really joyful and stimulating experience when we come together, but we have to do it together. I finish with a story that I picked up at the Leaders Conference when I went to the HTB Leaders Conference at the Royal Albert Hall a few years ago. And Nikki Gumbel, who's the leader of HTB, and who runs things like Alpha, generated from his church, if you don't know him. And he was about to introduce a Catholic cardinal to come and speak. And the gathering was all church leaders, quite a lot of Anglican Church of England church leaders, but other denominations too, but mostly kind of evangelical, which if you're not used to kind of this kind of thing, is probably the other end of interpretive spectrum from the Catholic Church in some ways. And I think he could sense that there was just a level of cynicism in the air of what can they teach me? And so he wanted to say before this Catholic cardinal came to the platform, he said, he used this phrase, he said, lean in. All too easily, particularly in the Anglican Church, we can sit with our arms crossed, especially if it's somebody we don't know who's come to give us a word or a talk or whatever. I'm not particularly commenting on anybody's posture just at the moment. This is more a mental state rather than a physical state. I'm just illustrating. Loads of people just... Sorry. He said, all too often we come to hear somebody and we sit back in our chair a little bit like this and we say, prove yourself. Prove yourself. Prove that I should listen to you. Prove that I should give you the privilege of my attention. He said, why don't we start off like this? Why don't we lean in? If somebody has done some work to offer you something that they think God wants to say to you, lean in. Have these filters absolutely tuned on high, but lean in. Why don't we assume that God has got something to say to us? So when you next go, either here or you hear anybody speaking to you of God or speaking, they would say, on God's behalf, can I ask you to try and do both? To have these tools of discernment ready, asking the Holy Spirit for help as we listen, seeing what they say about Jesus, is it consistent? And looking at who else is following this person as they speak. But let's lean in, because God does speak, and he uses people powerfully to speak. And maybe he might just use you as well. Amen.